Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
I'm always ready to take a life again.
fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts?
Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flooded, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have stopped love. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to seek of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you resize? Can you resize? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. Truth. You don't know how they gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers. People that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it, try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. Superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me, sick of needles in my artery, but I can't feel it, sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, I'm fearless, don't you try to grab hold of my soul, it's like a military soldier, 10, 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold, oh, why are we born in the first place, if this is how we gotta go, dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
The moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government. The other day, I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slumped, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car crying. And I'm dying, stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge, would rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a newsfeed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native robbed of my nation. I'm an African black man. Fuck down my language. Got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution. Let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies. They said to come through. And I run with the niggas. They scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye. Take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do all to you. And all they say is make America great. But what America hates, kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free. We wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me. And it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act. Yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black. Fucking vultures. Super quick to steal one's culture. Trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. How
standing in the rain, just waiting, pacing, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But now it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken, thinking scripture could have helped us, following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy, and they don't know shit about their history, 'cause they ain't teaching at school. Leave it up to them coons, and all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our homes. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house nigga, slave, see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos, and black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
Black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. Broadcasting to you live in the belly of the beast here in America, KKK. This broadcast is going all over the planet Earth. And we want to send a special shout out to our brothers and sisters in the many, many countries on the mother continent of Africa that are up in the late night listening to this broadcast. We send you a Black Power salute. To the brothers and sisters in the UK, Central America, South America, the Caribbean Islands, Canada, all over the planet, Australia, all of you that are popping up on the switchboard, we send you a special Black Power salute. And last but certainly not least, we send in the Black Power salute to all of our beautiful melanated brothers and sisters here in the belly of the beast with us in America, KKK. We thank you for your continued support and dedication to the Black Liberation Movement and to the New Black Panther Party and this broadcast. Tonight, brothers and sisters, as you know, on every night, we have our special guest host, the national spokesman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Brother Malik Mamaw, our Sunday and Monday night platform. And tonight, he's bringing a very powerful topic. And this topic is just not coming out the thin air, and he will let you know. We're talking about 400 years of colonization and oppression. And it must end on our watch, is what we are here to let you know. So without any further ado, we're going to get a mic check. Mic check, my mom, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power King, you have the floor. Salute.
Salute. Thank you, dear Queen. Thank you for all that you do and all that you have done and all that we be done in your name. I salute all the black mighty liberators, freedom fighters, and emancipators. I salute all our black educators. I salute all our black engineers, our scientists, our think tanks, our many, many various organizations. I salute all our black mighty strong people, no matter what state we may be in. At this point, for surely, I can attest, it ain't no worse than what it was when we started. The hills of North America, approximately 402 years ago, according to the colonies that wanted to be established, the first colony that was established was in Jamestown, Virginia. It was the year of 1619. It was the date of December the 12th, and we're a day after that. It was when the first packaged, sealed, bundled package deal of slaves was first delivered. Shackled and chained from the heavens of a world that they know to be into the hells of that which will plague many generations to come. First, let's be clear that we know that many of our ancestors had already traveled to North America. We know that many of our ancestors had already cultivated the lands of what we consider to be the continental U.S. and various other, we've already mapped the globe. But for certain, a certain amount of our people who had been through mighty journeys, many from wars, others from being kidnapped. But however it ended, most of our people were shackled and chained and led to the coast. Some traveled for weeks. Some was led for months just to get to the coast before they would be brandished, brand, packaged, and shipped off. Now, we know for a fact that there was Africans who had been in bondage in the hills of America, North America, prior to 1619. We know this. We know that there was Englishmen, Frenchmen, Dutchmen, Portuguese, and various other personal owners of slaves. But 1611 is when the first comers under the continental, at the time, United States, sealed the OK in Jamestown. Now, mind you, Jamestown in Virginia is a port, is the capital of the Confederate. Actually, it's the United States of Virginia. That's what America is. It's the United States of Virginia. They settled in Virginia, and the place they settled, they named Jamestown after their king. This is a colony who sent out from some sort of sovereign government designed to colonize, expand. So these people were sent by their king, who the first town they named after James. This is the King of England at the time. He was King James the First of England. But in Scotland, he was King James the Sixth and so forth. And in Ireland, he was also the king at this time. So the colonizers of 1619, 402 years ago, approximately, and one day, the one day, King James is also the spiritual counsel of most American Christians, whether they believe it or acknowledge it or not. However, they do acknowledge, they believe the word of King James over anything that you could put before them on the planet. You can go and pull up the ancient Gilgamesh tablets, tablets that was inscribed in cuneiform, in ancient Phoenician, where you get the word ancient or phonetics, or phonics, where you get the word phonics from, like hooked on phonics, Phoenician, ancient Mesopotamian. Even prior to the hieroglyphics, one of the earliest, very earliest of writing was cuneiform, which we have various stories of the beginning of creation. This is where we get the word Anunnaki come from. The word Anunnaki does not come out of the sky from nowhere, something somebody, a lot of people may have thrown it around, but the word Anunnaki comes from the Gilgamesh tablets, these ancient Sumerian tablets, these tablets that belong to some of our ancestors who existed, the Greeks we know are the ancient step one up from the Romans. So the European ancient Europeans or the Greeks, when you think of European ancient history, and when you talk ancient, I want you to mean sophisticated history. Because prior to their sophisticated history, their history is the basis of the caveman. There is no caveman with the T-Rex or the Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's not the case. The history of the caveman, the Homo erectus, is the European living in the Caucasus Mountains in Europe. They were not building the castles of Spain, they wasn't doing any of that. No matter what language or what proof or what archaeology or what evidence you can bring before most of the people that has been under the spell of those who have promoted and propagated the King James Version, be they Baptist, be they various denominations have went back and brought in various pieces and chose certain versions. You know, you got a billion different versions because King James wasn't. But most of those are associated and built off the same psychopathic mentality as the King James principle. It falls in line with it. They only edited out most of that which contradicts itself. We're heading toward New Year's. And during this time of 1619, when our people, which I would like to consider 402 years of now, because it still hasn't changed, and this is still the same time that we're in since then. New Year's Eve, under the Gregorian calendar, was not a thing that we idolized so much. Like, it wasn't like we celebrate. See, we give in to all, you could call it pagan, whatever you want to call it, but it was our enemy's celebration. You know, it was our enemies, whether you chose your enemy or not, whether you're hateful or you're not. I'm talking about a situation where the enemy chose you. I don't want you to look at your brother and your sister and judge them on who they are or how they act based on where we are today under the stigmatisms of psychological trick knowledge. The Bible talks about the book, it talks about the spell of Leviathan. You see, of people that didn't treat us right, and I'm talking about those of us who perpetuate this. You see what I'm saying? In the hells of North America, if they didn't treat us right, they wasn't going to teach us right. Hell, they didn't even want us to read. You would get beat to death severely if you was caught reading. If you was looking at a book, if you were just looking at the pages, you could be, if you just touched the book, if you had a book in your hand, this is serious. This is more or less like what we are now with the same war of information. Because, see, the book was information. And it's always a thing about information. Pardon me. It's always a thing about information and withholding the truth. You cannot monopolize a game being fair. The pimps cannot survive if they teach their so-called, excuse the expression, the prostitutes, if they refer to the prostitutes and teach them and try to motivate them and encourage them to be ladylike or have morals and principles about themselves. That'll be a contradictory to the line of work they're trying to get them to do. He would be a fool to do such a thing as to teach her to be proud, to hold her chin up. He needs her to believe that she cannot think. I think for you, right? You don't think, I think. That's your problem. Let me think. You just do what I say do. and I'm going to take care of everything else. You don't even need a dime except what I give you. Bring me all my money back. So I can keep living. See, if you have, because if she have money, she may want to run off. She may start saving up. That's why I'm going to beat her down when I find out she's holding back on me. Is that how I go? I believe we can understand that's how they do it. Slaves, they would not have wanted to give you anything, that, especially if it was as good as something that can save your soul. Because see, as devilish and evil as these people are, if it is a such thing as the hereafter, I promise you, they want all that for themselves too. And they want the most of it for themselves. They don't want nobody to be handing them out nothing. They will destroy nations and countries that does not seem to agree with them. Or do things vice versa in ways that they do. So we're dealing with a people, a situation, and we're dealing with ourselves. But ourselves are lost, so we need to find ourselves. So that's what we're trying to do, to figure out what we lost there in this 402 years. Because obviously something is not clacking and clicking. The mouth and the vision is not before our eyes. The fear is the only thing that we realize. Fear is the main thing that has been the leading factor in our lives. The fear of, what if I, what if they lock me up? What if I go to jail? What if they just start shooting? See? How long we stayed on a plantation like that? In Brazil, in South America, in Jamaica, with the Maroons, and Queen Nanny, and with any of, and the Mau Maus in Kenya, and any of the freedom fighters, or even the Zulus, you see, any of our people that is fighting and fought back. The mentality of what we cannot do cannot exist, or we will fail to remain where we are. Now, you show me a time when we did not have that mentality and we gained and made progress. I can promise you, every time there was a sacrifice, we made progress. But I can also assure you, time, that it appeared that we made progress or something was given to us and we did not have to sacrifice for it, it turned back to bite us in the butt. It was a trick. It was a plot. We've been hookwinged, as Malcolm say, bamboozled, as he would say. January the 1st was not a good thing for us. Because they had a thing where these crackers would use their slaves as collateral. Or they would make deals throughout the year, and they would rent out their slaves. But see, all the transactions took place on January the 1st. On January the 1st, no matter what business and deal y'all had conducted, look, you got 2-3 slaves over there. You ain't doing too good over there. You got your problem with them. Let me rent 3 of them slaves to work my cotton field next year. It's going to be March, but I'm going to get them in January. So this is what we dreaded, because we dreaded a thing such as, it was like more than that. It was a thing that they call Heartbreak Day. Sam, y'all deal with me for a second. I got a little pain I'm dealing with.
No pain, no gain. It was called Heartbreak Day. It was also acknowledged as Hiring Day. And for that very reason. So many of us knew that we may be getting separated from our family. We spent all the 31st and the rest of that get from this point on up grieving what type of thing, because we didn't know. We ain't in on it. We don't have it. We can have the audacity to act. If you know, that ain't got nothing to do with us. You know, stay out of anything, got anything to do with anything. That ain't got nothing to do with us directly. You stay the hell out of it. if they don't call you, you shut the hell up. Don't even look over there. They ain't got nothing to do with you. You don't need to know basis. And you'll need to know January 1st when he tell you to come on up there and he takes you to town and he puts you on that block and your wife, your kids, and all that. You might be gone for 2-3 years. Hell, you might not never make it back. He might beat your damn brains out before you even get back and just end up paying you off, the debt off, for what the dead slave would be worth. But we knew of our people being enslaved in North America as far back as 1555, the mid-50s. We know this. Today we're actually looking at how much of the process have changed from then to now. I'm talking about mathematics. Let's talk facts. We ain't got to talk opinions. Let's look at the ratio and proportions. How much has it changed? The same Jamestown, after the King James, who inspired, put it on the Bible. I swear to God. You lying, put it on the Bible. You won't put it on the Bible. And you would not lie on the Bible. Even when you go to court after they charge you for whatever they charge you with and try you, put you on trial. They had a Bible right there. The King's Bible. This is for them, for them, by them. This had nothing to do with you. They had inscriptions in there directed to them on how they should deal with you. It was inscribed that, it would say that in two, three places in the Bible, Timothy 1 for sure, where he mentioned, and it says, slave, obey your earthly master. This is instructions from the Lord to the slave. When have God ever put his people in positions to be slaves? They may have allowed themselves to become slaves, but when did God ever consider you to be a slave? Hell, many of us refuse to consider ourselves to be slaves. We was in bondage, but we wasn't slaves. But it says, slave, obey your earthly master. It says your earthly master. But it also says, man can't say it too. You know. It says, but obey your earthly master in reference to the Lord. It says, not just, look at the sneaky part. It says, not just when their eyes are on you to win their favor, but even when they're not watching, as it is your Lord Jesus who you are worshiping, who you are serving. Even though Jesus ain't getting no money off this cotton, pick that cotton like you're picking it for the Lord. when he's looking, like, because when he's looking, but pick it just as hard when he ain't looking. In reference to the loan. I don't want no God that can put me in a state that he did not create me in. Obviously, it's not my creator. Now, when you talk about Revelation, and it talks about how he talks to the churches, and he says there's certain things that I hold against you because you have forsaken your first love, or you have turn back into the ways of your father, those who were before you. Meaning, when they talking about us, they always talking in dispensations of time. The Bible you hold before you contain elements of the truth. That is not the truth. So now, I said, the Bible you are holding, the King James Version, is not the Word of God. But it does contain some truth. But even like as is mentioned in Revelation, it comes a time it calls for a prudent mind, a mind with wisdom, a calculating mind. Like you say, they say don't question God, but he say seek and the door shall answer. He say look and ye shall find. Proverbs, it say it is the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter, but the honor of a king to sort it out. Jesus said, it's many things I want to say, but y'all not ready. Bible, you only have 5% of his teachings. They say what he said in scriptures you can find written in some books in red. What percentage? It ain't even 5%. Tell me what percentage of the book do he say? And most of what he say, half of the people who got something to say ain't said nothing. And all the ones saying something can't get it right. These the ones he said, it's a lot I want to tell y'all, but y'all ain't ready. I got other disciples that's not of this flock. But this flock here, y'all are for the people. Y'all, the tax collector, you deal with everybody. Everybody got to come to you because you're the one collecting the phone. You're the one got to turn it over. And they got to make sure that Pharaoh, that Caesar getting his fair cut. Because they didn't have to collect a tax. See, the Hebrews didn't have to, the so-called Israelites did not have to collect a tax because they had to give a tenth. They had to give a tenth according to as it was worded or allegedly inscribed. The tax was for Caesar. The fisherman, he always in and out the market. That's his business. You eat more fish probably than anything. When they came down to Jesus feeding 5,000 people, what he feed? Fish. And he could have made lamb chops the way he did that. Because they say he took one piece of bread or one loaf of bread and five pieces of fish or whatnot and fed 5,000 people with it. If he was going to do that, they could have had shit, grapes, steaks, lamb chops, whatever they wanted. But they fish. That's what they fish. And he had a fisherman, somebody who had, he the supermarket. Who don't go to the grocery store? He that's him right there, yeah. The grocery store.
That had to be a big old fish, Mama. That had to be a whale or something. Big
hey,
old fish, 5,000
like,
people.
Right after that, I'm glad you brought that up, Queen. I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think a whale will feed 5,000 people.
but maybe can't. I don't know, because I'm a small eater. I don't eat a lot of it, you know. But think about it. It's mentioned in the scriptures, if we go back and reevaluate and revisit the scriptures, he said when he did this, right? I'm going to tell you what he said to his disciple after he fed him. Because when he fed him, as soon as he got through feeding him, one of his disciples came up to him, called it an X by Luke. Because, you know, Luke wrote two books in the New Testament. He wrote the book of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. Paul, on the other hand, who was Luke's best friend, they was buddies, they lived in the same town. None of them other people, that's other books, Luke, John, ain't none of them was doing the same time as Paul and Luke. And Luke and Paul was not doing the time the other guy. And they didn't have nothing to do with that. Luke, Paul.
Yeah, they came like 300 years later. They came 300 years later, if I'm not mistaken.
And he came, they all tell that he was there to kill Christians. He came killing Christians. He started killing Christians. He was a killer before he was anything. And, you know, he needed two or three of them, and he switched it. Well, this one here was also one, because he was with the Romans, and his thing was the twisting of the scriptures. Five during the Council of Nicaea, when the Constantine got together and decided which letter that was compensated by the Romans that has now captivated them, put them in vaults, and transferred over into the Roman Catholic Church and still got them same vaults with them same dungeons and the same information that they claim they can't open until XYZ, the same Romans that destroyed everything, just like England got the biggest museum and France got the biggest museums of African artifacts, even more than Africa. Well, we got much in the earth, but the stuff that's unearthed. The fact that you brought that up, he said his disciple came to him right after he fed those people, and he said, why is it that you always speak in parables? Now, Jesus just fed 5,000 people with one loaf of bread and five pieces of fish. And as soon as he got through feeding them, the disciple came up to him and said, why do you always, y'all go look this up, go read it. I ain't got to give you a scripture or a verse. If you know the book, you know the book. And if you don't know the book, you can Google it now. What Jesus said 5,000 people, it's going to give you the verse. Go look it up. So he said, why do you always? He said something. He said, man, you be chopping them metaphors up. You know, them ad-libs. Man, because you know he had to talk the way he was talking, especially if he talking to 5,000 people. He couldn't even talk in the synagogue. You can't even get probably 200 in there. That's why he was on the highways and the byways. He can't get that many people off up in the synagogue. But even when he was in the synagogue talking, in the midst of the priest, and said what he had to say. Many times. Sometimes, it ain't just about what he said, because sometimes he went in there and kicked over some things. Pulled out a bull whip and smashed. Let me see that. He went in the church, seen him being crooked, and kicked over the collection plate, pulled his belt off, and started rapping the deacon. Slapped the homosexual behind the piano. He did it all. He ran them all out of there. He beat him with a whip. That's what he said. That was violent. They ain't do nothing to him about that. But they jammed him up about some of the things he was saying. It's the things he was saying that would get him jammed up. So you know why he talked like that. You know why he walked like that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, don't it?
Jesus answered him and told him like this. Jesus said, to you, the kingdom of God has been given. What do you mean? He said, to you, the kingdom of God has been given. He said, but to them, the masses, the majority, because they always amongst the majority. He said, but to amongst the masses, he said, I speak like that so that they hear
but hear not. So that they see, yeah, see that. See, y'all, we all heard that before, but that's what he said right there. He's telling me. Because everything he's saying ain't for everybody. And John, he say what? My sheep know my voice. I speak so that my sheep, they know what I'm saying when I say what I said, because we ABC alike. But he said, to you, the kingdom of God has been given, but to them, I speak like that because of those reasons. Now, why do he ask him that, and why do he explain that like that of all what he just did with saying people? But let me tell you how he felt. It's important to understand how he felt. Well, the order in which he felt. Because see, when he felt him.
Excuse me.
He told the women and the children, y'all go over there. Me ain't talking right now. Said me ain't talking. So he said he fed the men first. I repeat, it's only one time, it's only one real reason why men eat folks. The main reason men would eat folks, if it was food, if it was physical, hot dogs, chips, or salad and some crouton, if the only reason men would eat first is if there's a need for them to prepare and go to war, prepare for battle. This may be their last meal. And they going to need the protein. Because guess what?
Right.
Once it get to going, it's gone. You're going to have to grab your limb or a snail along the way because there ain't no cooking up nothing else. Because if you cannot survive, it ain't going to do no good for them to eat the food. Because once they kill you on the battlefield, they come to kill them too. You out there weak and fighting. And the little babies full and the women full so that they can get slaughtered feeding them real food. That's why he said you always speak in parables. Even the idea of him feeding them fish was a parable. It was all a parable. 75% of the Bible. Everything Jesus said was a parable. And 75% of the Bible is a parable. The reason he fed the men is because he wasn't really feeding them. He was giving them knowledge. He didn't already told you. Why give you a fish when I can teach you how to fish? You know damn well they ain't going to take no one fish and feed all y'all. Are you crazy? No, we're not crazy. We've been misled. See, the problem is we lack the power to define. They stripped that from us. Even though we regained the ability to read, comprehension is one of the worst things that we have when it comes to being studious and reading. We just read over it. Just go through it. Just try to get the scan through it. Just, you know. Well, we catch on real good in real life. But if you put obstacles that cause us to think and perceive beyond the box, then we'll stay stuck in 1619. You won't even know the bar ain't moved. Matter of fact, it done dropped. But you would know that because you don't know what your great-great-great-grandparents went through. You heard about it by the same people that put them through it. How about that? You heard about it from the same people that put them through it. Right now, they're taking it out of the school buildings in the United States of America. They never honored any treaty. There's only one treaty that I was going to say they honored the Morocco Treaty. But that's a lie. They didn't honor that. It's just the fact that they didn't have to hold up to the end of the bargain because there would be no need for Morocco to ever be way over here in North America fleas been having a ship full of cargo. What Morocco gonna be way over here in the hemisphere with a ship full of cargo that can't nobody over here go even look and see what they got on there? But if another ship is following them and pursuing them, we have to aid them and with every effort we got to secure them. And they can port or set up their docks. They could dock their ship on in our docks for as long as they want to, and we can't even question them because they would never have a need to do that. So they could honor that because they only need them to do that for them. See, that was the Treaty of 1776 was all about. Those are the articles. That's the article. That's what it's saying. That's what it is. And if you go even deeper, you'll see that they had no need for that. But on the other hand, for most of our people over here that's considered to be, I don't know, weak. But they were none of that anyway. That's another subject.
Man, that's deep what you just dropped, bro. That's deep what you just dropped, bro. That's deep. For those of you who understand what he just laid down, you know what I'm saying? Now we see why we have these people going around attacking the black movement, you know what I'm saying? That's claiming they whatever title based off of this treaty of traitoring, this treacherous treaty that is. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Well, you're right. You're absolutely right, sister. But we with the New Black Panther Party, it's in our bylaw that we work with any and all of our people because we don't separate ourselves from one our people one way or another unless they're coon and they're against the betterment of our people. Then we 100% against them because we understand them to be the enemy as well as the devil.
Yeah. I'm talking about these treacherous treaties when people take, you know, for personal gain over the betterment of our people.
Right.
Right.
So that's King James 1619, King James. So we following up under that traditional religious principles of this European individual who many of us still need to go do research on this individual, you know what I'm saying, from all the countries he ruled. But
man, to check that knowledge, though, 1619. And then you go to a treaty in 1776?
Right. You see, because 1776, because in 1619, we were still up under what they considered to be the Continental U.S. The Continental U.S. was up under, was a colony of England up until what we get was 1776. Okay?
Yeah.
So we get the Boston Tea Party. This is one of the first times you get white folks acting like other people when they start acting like Indians. And they've been acting like Indians ever since then. They got the good idea to just act like us all the way through. Because most of our people that was here, they just act like that part. You know what I'm saying? And what they did was they rebelled against England before they got their independence from their mother country. They feel like they've been over here tilling the ground, tilling the land, doing the work, building it up, fighting the Indians or whatever else they had to be doing, you know what I'm saying, destroying the Indians, taking the land, manifest destiny, as they called it. They was over here executing the manifest destiny. So just like if you could take it, it's yours, based on, because every ship came with a priest and the religion was under the church. With being King James, he had it. They came with it because they fall up under the Roman Catholic idolatry. So they imaged most of the same practices. So those same priests were sent even through them after they established the Church of England. And with those come over here, manifest destiny was the religion. If you could take it, anything you could do, the priest was blessed and you was good to go. They certified their evilness. And once they got their independence, with a lot of trickery and a lot of other things that was going on in the world under the scheme, under the tables, and different secrecies and sorceries, they get their independence in 1776. So once they get their independence from England, the so-called slaves who were handheld at the time just get transferred from one hand to another hand, if that makes sense. Am I correct? We get transferred from one form of power to another form of power, even when this one form of power has became independent from the original source of power. So once they became identified as an independent nation, a lot of the country that supported the country today still was not a part of the country at that time. It still was many colonies.
Let's go back to this. The recognized as an independent nation in 1776 by who?
By individual nations, such as mainly one of the African perpetrators at the time that signed on to this treaty was Morocco. Morocco
exactly.
Just like they did Israel. Just like they did Israel.
Exactly.
Take Israel and they recognize Israel as a state and a country. As legitimate, as one of their own based on who they are. They don't give a damn about who
exactly.
What the world feel like. It's like we feel. So that's what we want.
And this
you
is
know what I'm saying?
And this is what I wanted to get at, because when we talk about and we profess to be a new African nation and wanting our sovereign independent territory, Dr. Maury Obadeli taught us in 1993, it would take one country to recognize our independence, just like
that's
Morocco
right.
did for the Americas. And this is something
that's
we
right.
have to get our people to understand, just like how they did in 1776. Why would you need a treaty 157 years? Yeah.
Spain, France, and the rest follow right along. But the thing about it was, remember, the business, right? Remember, the business had
mm-hmm.
already been established. So,
right.
for instance, on holding this, you know, enterprise, and I got people like you know, and I got other people in the company, you know what I'm saying? You got economical espionage and different stuff like that. Take somebody to take over the company. You take over everything that go with it. Or if I got 20%, you got 30%, and somebody else got 40%, and somebody got 50%, you know what I'm saying? The one that take over the majority pretty much take over the company. And you know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what, but you get all the benefits that come with it, all the assets carry over with it. You see what I'm saying? So once they got their
right.
independence, the business and established business of slave trade had well been established and was doing great. That's why they decided to turn over the table to begin with. You see what I'm saying? Because the business was so good. So one, understanding that the business was good, they intended to keep up with the business. So it was like illegal drug trade, when humans was the highest thing to get high on and the best. Africans was the best. So they wanted to continue that business. So they needed to reach out to their contacts and the different plugs to make that happen. They had to reach out to, like, say Morocco would be the police or enforcers or the security. They will be the pigs that protect the big corporate interests. But act like they're the protect and serve. But in this time, they wasn't acting like protecting nothing. They were just protecting and serving the interests of the Europeans. But the treaty concluded with Morocco had to acknowledge and be on the same footing with America as it was with the other European fellow nations, such as France and Spain. You got to look at us and treat us and deal with us or give us the same deal of treatment like you got them. So whenever we
and
get
you know,
ready
even
to
today,
these slaves,
even,
we get,
even
right?
to today, even to today, even to today, out of all of the countries in Africa that are part of the African Union, the only country on the continent of Africa that is not a part of the African Union is Morocco. Even to today.
Right.
It's deep.
It's completely Arab and Eurocentric. It's one of the strongholds, the corners right there. It's Carthage. It's also ancient. As well, you know what I'm saying? It's just like Damascus. When you speak of Damascus and Syria and Damascus and stuff like that, you can think of cartridges. Even you think of that before you even think of that, actually. So, but yeah, they want to cut that off. But these are also the ones who brought Christopher Columbus over here, correct? It was
right.
Who? It was a navigator. It was a stargazer. It was a navigator that led him here. He had brought him here, really. He the one already introduced him to it, right? Because he couldn't get him without him. And this wasn't no slave. This was 1492. This was in 1492. Christopher Columbus scouted all over Europe trying to find resources and access to somebody that would be crazy enough or willing to support the journey to the new land. That he, because he was explored, he get in where he, you know, he feel like these Moors, they know something, he can get around. So Spain recently had gained their independence, and they wasn't rocking the boat. They was good. They wasn't trying to expand too much. They were good what they had just got. They were trying to secure that. So he went to the Pope, and the Pope encouraged him to go to England. They was dealing with a lot. They might even come up, muster some up. Because at the time, they were dealing with every plague in the planet. Blue plague, black plague, smallpox, big plague, big pox. They had everything. Everywhere. Story about Peter Piper. You know, they had it all. You know what I'm saying? The rats was everywhere. They didn't know if it was coming from the dungeons. That's why they freed the dungeons. They didn't know if it was coming from the wall. It was coming from the rats. They didn't know what it was. People get like, just like they did now, they reevaluated shit to get a world where they the only ones that had been dealing with. Nobody was walking around dying from plagues like they had been when they was in Europe with all the plagues that they had, especially in England. There wasn't nobody walking around like they doing now. You get coronavirus, COVID-19, you dead. Or Ebola, it'll be out of here in a little bit of no time. Yeah, they were walking 2-3 months, get a fever, and they were dying from fever, all type of fever. They was out here 2-3 weeks, 2-3 days. He got the fever. He got it. Huh? She got the fever. The fever. You know, that's what it was like, and that's what they regenerated to create and control the masses. Of course, we got too many people on the planet right now, and the masses of the riches and of the riches are always paranoid and worried about losing power and control. Because they know the stories of how the French parlayed during the rebellion, the French rebellion, and was massacred. They know people don't only stay asleep for so long. They just got to make sure they even secured you. Lock down certain sectors, control. Pretty much could drop you dead with a button, shoot something off up in you, and some, you know, give you a shot. Some nanoparticles, maybe. Or maybe even put a chip in you. Force that on everybody. Scare that on everybody. To where they could hit a button. Cyanide in your blood, you're out of here. They become God and get the control. You know, it's a big thing about power. Ain't nobody spending billions of dollars just to take a joyride up out to that solar sphere and back down for nothing. You know, they don't teach us or tell us anything about what's really going on. They never taught you how to really, they might have showed you a check and how to write a check, but they never really taught you how to balance a checkbook or check an account. They teach you how to manage their credit. Debits and credit, they didn't teach you that.
Black power!
Black power! Black power!
Black power!
One more time, queen.
Wow.
Talk about music to your ears. Man, that sent goosebumps all down my spine. Right. Oh. Mm. Right. Oh. Wow.
Black.
Well, we get our minister of culture chiming in with your brother Mama O and the young princess. Wow, that sent me some goosebumps.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mama.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
Well, she,
oh.
She had, you know, she always had to get that in. She was under the weather for the past week. You know, a little runny nose and so forth. Nothing, you know, too serious. And, you know, that's the main reason why I've been in and out. I've been listening to, you know, I've been on the calls, you know, every night. You know, I apologize for not being able to get in and share, you know, as much. But, you know, just had to, you know, make sure that she's back up 100%. I did have a couple of issues with, you know, my account on WhatsApp being hacked, you know, so, you know, brother Eugene and I touched bases about that. But, you know, I'm definitely, you know, here. If I'm not vocal, you know, or not, you know, on, you know, physically speaking, you know, I'm definitely in listening to the show, taking notes as always. And tonight, definitely, you know, great show. You know, you know, we just got in about a good 20 minutes ago, but I was listening and hearing a lot about, you know, Morocco and so forth. If I may say it. It kind of rubs me in different ways, you know, when this topic comes up. One, you know, many of us tend to want to be any and everything else other than who and what we originally are. And number two, I'll keep it nice, short, and sweet. You know, Professor Kaba and I has had some great conversations, topics. We put together some great lectures on this specific topic, you know, or just talking about, you know, the relationship with Morocco and the U.S. And he goes into very extensively in regards to, you know, Moors and so forth, as well as Professor Smalls and, you know, Leonard Jeffries, you know, so. Yeah, I'm a little on, you know, not the fun and friendliest side when it comes to, you know, talking about this, because I don't have anything against anybody and what they want to believe, what they want to follow, you know, whether it's through religion or, you know, whatever direction they want to take culturally. But, you know, I would just say, you know, do some very extensive research. Get outside of the box. And not just read what an individual writes and speaks about on a topic that they have committed themselves to, because you will get a real bias in perspective, you know, of it. And that's the reason why Dr., you know, Clark always said, you know, you need to study your enemy's history. In many cases, before you study your own history, just to get the full picture. My dad always said, you know, there's always two sides to a story, then there's the truth. So when you have someone leaning on one side more than the other, you rarely will get, you know, the honest truth. So relationship between the U.S. and Morocco, we can go back 1777, 1776, you know, as far as recognize, one of the first to recognize the U.S., we can look at a whole lot of writings and books on the treaties that really have nothing to do regards to being a Moor, but it was on a whole total different level. But many people have tried to incorporate that and make it and turn it into, you know, something other than what it is, you know. So I would say we got some elders who are still with us, who have been on the show, that can really put a lot of things, you know, to rest on that topic. But great show, great topic. You know, I like to get into it, but, you know, I just give fair warning that I'm not one to, you know, subscribe or prescribe to that, you know, direction of, you know, being a Moor and so forth. I've taken the advice of my teachers, my elders, you know, those who are very influential, knowledgeable scholars, and, you know, it's a good topic, always been a good topic, but it always boils down to being something other than, you know, what we are, and it can also be a distraction, a huge distraction. But, you know, great show, great topic. And, you know, I'm going to let you go on and finish, bro. And I'll let, you know, you, sister, chime in. And, you know, towards the end of the show, I'll share a little bit of what I've been working on behind the scenes, even though, you know, I haven't been on every single night, you know, speaking. But I have been working on, you know, some things, you know, some guests and so forth. Who's looking forward to, you know, coming on the show. So, you know, I'm just passing it back on to you, Black Power.
Well, the thing is, thank you, brother. Black Power, that was our National Minister of Culture, Brother Greg, and the beautiful princess who, you know, she came in like a siren. You know, they say them sirens, their songs are catching your spirit. But I wanted to just, you know, as I passed it back to the minister, a national spokesman that is, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we did a 3-1-2-3-part lecture series in which we played Steve Coakley, and he laid out the boule and the different layers in regards to the race traders and things of that nature. But what we are dealing with, the title says 400 years of colonization and oppression. And it must end on our watch. In order to do so, we're laying out all of the players, you know. And I know this topic is going to lead to other topics as it already has, you know, because, you know, we're talking about the colonizers and, you know, the oppression and what we must do, you know, and how this came about. So, it's, you know, in this two-hour period, you know, but Mama has laid out so many things, you know, and it's like I'm sitting here just on the edge of my seat, you know, being inspired and, you know, connecting dots and wanting us to have some critical thinking as a people as to what it is that we're dealing with. And it's very powerful how the brother is laying it out, not only historically, but scripture-wise, and bringing it right back home. So right here and right now. So, you know, back to you, Brother Mama. Back to you.
Black power. And Black Power, salute Brother Greg and Minister Coach and with this sister that chimed in at our national time. yes. Oh, Black power. But yeah, I mean, dealing with some of these issues that we're plagued with at times can be challenging. It can be kind of complicated. Sometimes it can be kind of hard to deal with, but they must be dealt with. We must come to grapple with them and come to a complete understanding of what it is we must do to get to where we need to be. Dealing with those aspects of Morocco, you can find images of slaves on or people in bondage on the motherland and the continent prior to being ushered off into the hills of North America or to the hills of South America or anywhere else these colonizers drug us off to. But you can also see them under the careful rifle of Moroccans, black, African, colored Moroccans with the gun. Say that so that you won't think that they were white Moroccans. Like they are now. But it was black Moroccans color. Moroccans with the gun, marching many of our people, as I said, for weeks and some even for months. If you read this treaty, the Treaty of Morocco and the United States of America, which was signed 3 years after America's independence, America gained her independence allegedly in 1776. That's the bicentennial, the 1776. And 3 years later, they reached out, if it would have been a UN Council for membership, they was reaching out to the UN Council for membership in 1779. Now, we have some brothers and sisters at that time, like I say, that marched us into this situation. But the situation we in now is not a situation that we can litigate ourselves out of. This is not a situation that we would litigate it into. Sight or cold for black people. We can't uphold or attempt to uphold a law with attempts to exempt ourselves or to consider ourselves freer than others or to free ourselves that would not have stood even at that time. In 1776, you better not have took your dark-skinned self nowhere talking about no treaty with these white folks. And you know that. You couldn't have did took that 1776 treaty over here in the hills of North America and 1865. You still couldn't have put that in their face. But what I do admire about many of our elders who have inspired a lot of our people to be searchers for themselves. The Honorable Minister Elijah, the Honorable Messenger Elijah Muhammad, Dose Ali, the Honorable Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. All of them that have inspired our people to try to seek and find themselves on various levels. The Honorable Yahweh Ben Yahweh, you know, just have inspired our people because none of these are wrong completely. Because in some sense of another, they all belong to us rightfully. It's all ours. It's not a part here and a part there and a part there. You got to put all this together to make one understanding, to realize that we really one people. We created all this. All this is just another part of us. If you look at Nigeria, then look at Angola. Then look at Zimbabwe, Zaire, the Congo. Just look all over. You can find every culture around the world in Africa.
Right.
You can find it all right there in Africa. Matter of fact, you can find every feature right there on the continent. You can find people on the continent where the shortest person shorted might be 6'6".
The shortest is 6'6".
In Africa, yeah, shorty. 6'6". Little man. Pee-wee. 6'6". And then we know this. And we
right.
can go other places and may find big man might be 4'4".
Right.
Big dude, 4'4".
4'4". Mama, I mean, you know what? You tickling me, but it's true. But I got to say something because I couldn't get my phone off mute quick enough before you start talking about Shorty and Big Man. But talking about no black person need to be trying to do no treaty with Nail Cracker from 1500 to 2021. This damn devil Biden promised black people all kind of shit 6 months ago.
Yeah, what are you talking to? We had
six months ago.
And he didn't turn COVID.
It didn't take him 30 days to change. Yeah, you gonna have a treaty with a goddamn devil? This man came and said, I couldn't do it without the black people. I need the black people. I can't do it without you. I couldn't have did it without you. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that.
And
as soon as his devil ass got in office, come on.
Yeah, three strikes your eye. Super predators in the 1990s. He the one that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton passed that Super Predator Act. Los Angeles, Southern California, suffered the hardest. Three strikes shot. Yeah, life. First guy, Los Angeles, was a piece of pizza. I remember that. I was in bondage and I seen that and I was like, man, that man, if he stole pizza because he was a box of pizza, he robbed a piece of joint. I only think the brother had a whole box of pizza, and they gave the brother life, three strikes. That's the first one they did that like that. Another situation, I was in bondage, and as a juvenile, I mean, I was in an adult facility at the age of a juvenile, but due to the fact I had been in juvenile, the law that Biden passed forced the state to max me out. And at the time, I was a first offender as an adult. But due to the fact I had a juvenile history, it allowed them to max me out. Took them about five cycles to reverse that on the juvenile part. They couldn't use that court. They couldn't use that. And everybody know you can't use your juvenile record against you. Everybody in the state that had a juvenile record and had a violent offense, maxed out. Flat. Regardless. And this is Biden. Three strikes, you're out. Biden. First-time offenders, violent crime. If anything violent happens, you're going to do 85% of that. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And then at the same time, they open it up to where they can put the prisons on the free enterprise, on the stock market. They bring their investors to some of these private corporate prisons and show them out. The states don't have to build prisons. Private interests are building. There's big money in it. Now, what do you think will happen? I use analogy in bondage once before. But I was always in bondage. But while I was in bondage, I end up in bondage, if that makes sense. I stayed in bondage while I was in bondage. I was in bondage, and then they would put me in bondage, keep me in bondage. And I would always raise the question. I say, if you have an institution with 4,000 people, say if everybody do good, don't nobody do no wrong, follow all the rules, don't go to the blocks, don't do nothing, act right, don't get no squabbles, no nothing, do right, be good, and try to be a good person, a good citizen too if you can. Do you think it's possible for the cell blocks to go empty? They say, no, of course not. You know why? Because they're going to come up with something stupid to put you in there. Because that's the business. They need you backlogged if they can. That's money. It's a commodity. So why would they invest in education if they get rich off of it? Wouldn't be no need. You make it a demand by putting it on the stock market for investors. Bob Barker gave away the price is right. So the price was all good. Prison Enterprise. I understand the education, they're not teaching us anything to make it anywhere. They don't even give you, they teach you all the lies. They teach you all the things that will not inspire you, but yet will inspire some little white kid that was sitting there and learning about George Washington Cherokee. You don't give a shit about George Washington Cherokee, do you? Tell the truth. You don't. You don't care about that. You never did. You didn't care about it then. It didn't mean nothing. It didn't resonate. They said, George, why you might have thought about a dollar? The man on a dollar. You don't know about the dollar port. You don't care nothing about the historical, so-called legendary first president. Okay, he was the first president. You don't care, do you? You don't. There wasn't no inspiration in that.
Even that's a lie.
You couldn't see yourself in it. You could not see yourself in it. So, of course, you're not going to be inspired. But then you was inspired by people like Martin Luther King, wasn't you? But it's billions of other people that we can tap into that you can be inspired. You was inspired by Malcolm. You will be inspired by many other people if they'll let you know that they existed without smothering your history from you. You'll be so into history. Them Chinese, as they say, them Asians, wouldn't have nothing on you. Because you'll want to know. I used to didn't want to know. Honestly, I didn't care about knowing. The first book I ever read in my life, probably Message to the Black Man. And I only read it because it was a brother that was, he was always making fun of white folks, but he would talk like, he talked like a country white person, but it pissed me off at first, but I didn't realize at first that he was making fun of him. I just felt like he was talking like a cracker. And I don't know why this Negro or this black man sitting here talking like no cracker at the time in my mind. It irritated me. But then I found out he really didn't like them, and he was doing it to white people. He wasn't talking with them. He was talking at them. And then I realized that everybody was laughing and what it was. So I wasn't upset with the brother no more. But the brother started telling me things about things. Like with the Bible, that I didn't know nothing about. It kind of threw me off. He said, man, you talking about nothing but a miracle. I'm like, you got to show me what you talking about. I don't know. And he started saying, man, you in the Bible. It's all about you, man. It's you. That made me feel like, so you got to show me. Now I want to know. I don't believe you. Man, the Bible said this, that, and that. I ain't never read the Bible either, but I know that's what my people believe in. That's what everybody say. I say put it on the Bible. They ain't never even put the book up. That's what we do. We just know the Bible. We could be out there on the corner. You have two drunks out there. Man, put it on the Bible. I put it on the Bible. You know, they probably read the Bible. But that's all we know. Because that's what has been indoctrinated. That's the indoctrination. But I assure you it is not the Word of God. It may contain some of the words like of God. But I assure you the King James Version is not the Word of God. That's the Word of King James. It tells you that. It specifically tells you that. And it's his work. It ain't even his word. It ain't even his word. He just endorsed it. We must look at the ratios and proportions of our histories to see where we at. We must look at things and line them up. We must first start to study our history. We can't wait on our enemy to teach us our history. You know, you don't sit home and wait on the school to teach your kids. Even if you send your kids to public schools, you don't wait on them to start teaching them how to count, do you? Did you? There's maybe a lot of other things you wait to let them teach because I don't know that I ain't going to go there, but you shouldn't. And just like you didn't send them initially without teaching them ABCs or trying to before somebody else started teaching them. See, we need to start teaching ourselves and our kids and our culture to ourselves. Of course, they're going to hate it. Which European want to talk about Hannibal of Carthage and the Carthaginians? and surely not no Sicilian. Don't now Rome or Catholic or Italian won't talk about nothing about the Carthaginian at all. Maybe if you tell me you're Moor, they'll talk to you. They'll kick it with you. Probably, they might get dialogue with you. You know, if you told me you was a Carthaginian, then no. Don't tell that type of history. Queen Candace. Yeah, the Greeks, they won't talk about that. Queen Zinga, they won't talk about that. If they'd have told you about Queen Nanny, that would have inspired you. If they would have even told you about Neptune, if they would have had the audacity to try to balance the history that happened, even today, you know. But they don't and they won't, because even at this point, like I said, we try to take it out like it never happened. So slavery is not something that they did. When I say slavery, I'm saying it on their behalf. The detriment on their behalf, what they was doing to of people. The bondage and the suffering that they put people through. It's not in them to be fair and balanced. You think they've let it start now? You think they'll do it next year as a whole, collectively? They won't even voice out against the evils that they know they do and have orchestrated. They won't do it. They're never going to do it. It's not going to happen. They're only going to sit on their hands and twiddle their thumbs behind their back. They may shed a tear. They're good actors. If you pin them good, if they feel like they're about to lose, just to regain a little momentum to stab you in your back. Because that's what they're going to do. Because that's what they do. That's what they've always done. And our fear have allowed it to continue to happen among us.
Mama, we got a caller out of the 864 area code.
Power.
Hey. 864, your mic is open. 864, what is your name? What city are you calling from? And what is your question and or comment?
Black Power, Brother Tate, South Carolina, Greenville. Comment, you know, about the show. Hey, just got a comment about the show. Speaking some pretty deep stuff. This is the stuff that schools don't want to teach us. Found out some interesting information about the flag itself, man. You know, the 50 stars represent the states, but the 13 stripes were something by the 13 colonies. And, you know, they were colonizers. So that's stuff that they don't teach you, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be no colonies if they wasn't colonized by the ones that came over from Europe. So that's a lot of that hidden history that, you know, I'm teaching kids and stuff like that. And I heard a lot of that tonight. So excellent job. Keep up the good work. Black Power.
Right, Black Power. That's excellent to know, Brother Black Power. And I know that there are. I know for a fact that there are. I know for a fact that there are many of our people that where the schools make sure they take certain things out of the curriculum. And our people know that and they see that. But I appreciate our people that go out of the way and go that extra mile to install self-awareness to some degree to our kids, whatever opportunity they get, to give them a little something to go on, to grow on. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they won't dissect it all today, but you just plant them seeds. Some of it going to fall on the rock, some going to fall in the thorns, but some of it going to fall on good soil. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're a farmer, just keep pitching your seed. You know, Black Power to that, you know what I'm saying? Just keep working and doing what you got to do for our babies and our kids. You know, because mm-hmm. they're going to do what they got to do for their people.
Black Power.
Only man one, Black Power.
Okay, go ahead, bro. I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I'll wait till you finish.
Oh, no. Come on in, bro.
You know, I just wanted to very briefly, regarding the stripes and stars and so forth, I've taught and I have actually been teaching English as a second language for about almost 11 years, And one specific area that I really enjoy teaching, or not, I won't even say so much teaching, but when there are individuals who are looking to become citizens of this country, they have to take the citizenship exam. And I don't know if you or, you know, any of our listeners has ever looked at the actual questions that they are given. There's 100 questions, and they only are required to answer a minimum of 5. Personally, speaking to students that I've helped over the years, most of them have been asked only 3 questions. But I say all of that just to bring out a couple of questions that are asked or that are mentioned, per se, in this quote-unquote, you know, exam. And when it comes down to our people, us, it all goes back to slavery. You know, when they're asked a question about, you know, Africans and so forth, and it just specifically lets them know that the answer is about, you know, slaves, that we were brought here as slaves. It doesn't teach anything about us being here before. It doesn't teach any. It doesn't point out anything in regards to our history before that. Plain and simple. So people coming into this country who are looking to become citizens, that's all that they, or I won't say that that's all, but that's one thing that's laid right before them in regards to how they view us.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Same thing in regards to our educational system here, majority of the educational system, in which they're still, you know, trying to take slavery out and so forth, but that's what it is. So they are brought in and they're taught, as well as students here, that that's where we begin. Nothing prior to that, you know, whatsoever. And that caller that pointed out as far as, you know, the colonies and so forth, absolutely. That's embedded in those questions. And that information, as far as getting a copy of, you know, the questions and so forth, I mean, you can get that for free. You can go right online. You know, citizens exam or citizenship questions. There are only 100 questions. That's all it is. But when you look at them and you read them,
100 questions, and you only got to get 3 right.
You only got to get a couple right. I'll say it like this: over the past 11 years, that I've been teaching English as a second language, and I'm going to talk about here in New Jersey. When I first began, my first experience was back in 2008, 2009, and this was with language, quote-unquote, schools, second language schools here in New Jersey. And at that time, these schools, they were not required – or they weren't required to be licensed by the government or, you know, the Board of Education or anything of that nature. But due to the fact that many students were coming here with student visas, that changed the whole dynamics, meaning they were required to be in school X amount of hours per week. They were required to meet other, you know, there were other requirements that they had to meet. So these schools had to eventually become certified through the government. So someone coming here with, you know, a student visa, they had to go to specific schools. But hitting the rewind button back to 2008 and before, that wasn't the case. So they changed the whole dynamics of it. So now they're pushing a lot of these students through. But getting back to as far as citizenship exam, I've had students that has told me personally that they were asked a minimum of 3 questions. There are 100 questions in the booklet or so forth. They have to know and understand, you know, those questions. But over these 10, 11 years I've been teaching, I would say about 85 to 90% of the individuals that I've helped prepare for this exam, they said they were asked a minimum of 3 questions. Minimum.
Damn.
The number one question within those 90-some-odd percent, who's the president? Number two overall would be name a state that the U.S. borders. In other words, Mexico. Name a state that borders Mexico, or name a state that borders Canada. That would be like number two of the most common question. Number three common question would be naming a senator, you know, from your state. And that's over about 11 years of me helping or tutoring, prepping, whatever you want to, however it's going to be labeled, individuals to take the citizenship exam. Those are the three most common questions that we're asked.
How is the question in regards to blacks and slavery? How is that structured? Is it a question or is it a statement? How is that structured?
It can be worded in a question form or it can be worded in a statement form, such as what is the name of, you know, those who were, you know, brought from Africa? And you have about three different answers that you can select that would be correct. You know, they were, you know, slaves were brought from Africa. They were Africans. It's something of that sort. I don't have the question right in front of me, but it's something of that nature.
Does it ask that of any other people but Africans?
Who were here before? Who were here before? You know, before the colonies were formed, something in that state, who was here, the original, you know, inhabitants of, you know, North America, something of that nature. It would be that you can say Native American Indians, or you can name a specific Native American Indian tribe.
Damn.
I wish I had the booklet in front of me, but there are only 100 questions. Only 100 questions. You know, in there, and you're only really required to answer, you know, up to 4 or 5. But I'm just saying, on my experience with the students or the people that I've helped, they were asked only 3 of them. And when the brother, you know, the caller just called in about stripes, that's one of the questions. What does the stripe represent on the flag? The original, you know, 13 colonies, you know, the stars, you know, the 50 states. But, you know, my whole thing with jumping in there, when it comes to us, it's just a simple, simple question in regards to, you know, blacks or African Americans. There are a few questions
simple,
in there.
It's very disrespectful. It's not a simple question.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a condemnation of disrespect.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I use the word simple, I'm using that just to explain that you got maybe 2 out of 100 questions referring to us as a people, basically. You know, there are questions regarding
derogatory and false manner.
Extremely.
It's very undermining for the principle. It's like, okay, you could be like, who are the people that came from? Senegal, Mali, Nigeria, Benin, you know. Who were the white folks that came? Who were the people that came from Europe? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
1492, rapists, murderers, and prostitutes. Scumbags, disease packers, rats, roaches, crumbs. But it wasn't the pilgrims, as they teach our children when they go to school and get to join their hands to make turkeys. And put on these little helmets and Indian these feather hats, and they make it seem like the pilgrims were church-going people, clean and pressed, with their nice white and black, shiny, clean, vocal buff. No, these people was crawling out of trenches and ditches and and holes in the ground. They stank. Bugs flew around them, and they was nasty. They were so pitiful. The people that first saw them and identified them, the originators, they watched them for weeks before they even went and counted them. Before they even made the first encounter, it was 1492 when they landed. And when they was first encountered, half of them was dead. It was 102 of them that landed. Over 52 of them was dead, had been already died before the what they so-called natives or the aboriginals at the time went and assisted the people. See, Thanksgiving wasn't no Wang Dang Doodle. You know what I'm saying? No, everybody brings pot liquor. It wasn't that. It was a charity case.
Right.
You know?
They were freeing the deaf,
and they was dying, and they was out here like little kids. Like somebody had to abandon their children. And, of course, that's what we call them, the children, on the world scale, because they're the youngest and the least of the people to come on the planet. They history, you can't find them nowhere past 6,000 years. They'll talk about events that go back to 6,000 years. So they'll talk about Mesopotamia, and Mesopotamia is a Greek word. The Mesopotamians didn't call themselves Mesopotamia. That was ancient Sumerian, ancient Phoenicia. But in their language, the Greeks, they called that ancient place that where we was, which was ancient to them, which was 4,000 years before the Greeks, well, about 2,000-3,000 years before the Greeks, well, at least 3,000 to 4,000 years before the Greeks. But the Greeks named them. That's like us naming the Greeks who was 26 or 2,800 years ago. Because the Greeks only go back 800 years B.C. Mesopotamia go back 3,500 B.C. That means that's like almost 600 years ago right there.
Drop in the bucket.
And they wasn't even around. They just got civilized with the Greeks. That was 800 years before Jesus. So 800 years. We've been in the hills of North America, what we're talking about right now, 402 years. That's half of the time that they was on the planet when they were civilized. That's half of the time that they had ever been civilized as a people with knowledge and culture and cultivation.
And how did they get civilized? The Etruscans who came from Africa. The Etruscans
we
went up to Greece
them.
And civilized them.
Look, even Socrates. They murdered Socrates, one of their own. Socrates taught them everything they knew. Socrates was the man. Aristotle and all those was his underlings. So, you know, those his pupils, he was teaching them people. He tell you he studied in Africa for over 20 years.
Absolutely.
He studied
there you
in
go.
Africa for 20 years. And when he came back, he was teaching the truth. He gave them all the knowledge that they had, but teaching the youth, Aristotle and them, he was giving them the game. But they sentenced him to death, dragging a cup of poison. Like I listen, they sentenced him to death. His charges was corrupting the youth and teaching of foreign gods. That's why they killed Aristotle. Because he was corrupting the youth and teaching or preaching of foreign gods. But he the one tell y'all everything. How you going to send him to death for preaching of foreign gods when he taught you what you know? You couldn't even count without him. You know nothing without him. He telling you where he got the knowledge from. This is how you get Egypt instead of Kemet. This is how you get Osiris instead of Osar and Horus instead of Heru and Isis instead of Aset. But it's all the same story. It's all the same thing. And they create their Greek religions and all this and from what we, our original stories. information.
Well, it's just like our people do them.
Blackberry Alexandria.
Yeah, when you're getting ready to bootleg something.
No more. Like I said, they want the whole university for themselves. They want all the knowledge for themselves. It wasn't good enough for them to go and study and learn and take the knowledge back. This is what I'm telling you. We created the cultures and the religion. It only becomes religion when we become dogmatic and lose our spiritual sight. Because with spiritual sight, I'm telling you, I'm a Christian. And I know what I'm talking about. I can tell you Jesus is the way and the light, but I know what I'm talking about. You see, I can tell you I'm a Muslim, and I follow the deen. You know what I'm saying? And Muhammad is a messenger because of what he did for the people, of his people who were lost. I can tell you I follow the Torah. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I follow Muhammad and understand what I'm talking about because I know it's all one. But I know the lies that have been told. And it ain't about being religious. We recording you in your Bible right here, right now. This is real. This ain't religion. They tell you about wars that was had. That wasn't religion. Now, you can take that as your religion if you just want to be dogmatic and sit up and talk about it and say, well, this happened and that happened and don't live it. Know that it's a time for everything and stand on it. You can say that the devil going to come and Jesus going to come back and he called 144,000, you know what I'm saying, woo, woo, woo. But don't want to acknowledge the fact that you got to go to war. You see, that's why you want to stay out of Revelation. Because he said he's coming back and everything's going to be peaceful. He said he's coming back, it's going to be a war. He said he's going to bring the sword. He said blood going to be dripping on his gown. He already tell you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to destroy the devil or whatever, however. What you think the devil is? Who you think the devil is? This is allegory. This is symbolic. So I can understand. You must understand that. And if you understand truly, then you know it's all telling you the same thing. And it ain't got nothing to do with religion. This is real life. Now, you could be spiritual, but it's not good to be religious. Because 9 times out of 10, if you be religious, you're going to follow some dogmatic institution created by man. And you won't be sure about what you're dealing with.
Power.
Black power. Ain't no spook in the sky. And Quran says he's closer to you than your jugular vein. In the Bible, it says you are the temple of God. It says ain't nobody going to be able to say here it is, there it goes, it's over here, it's over there. He said because the temple of God is within you. What's better than you? You think it's a heaven outside of you that you're going to go to after you leave outside of you? It is your heaven. Your existence is a heaven. Stop letting the white man make it a hell. Every day is heaven. Before we got here and after we leave here and while we continue to be here, we are heaven. You are heaven. And when we are one, we are heaven. Just acknowledging it. It's not somewhere you're going to go after you die. And hell is not somewhere under the ground you're going to burn. Because we see what happens when you put bodies in the ground. The same thing, it deteriorates and go back to the dust from which it came. It don't burn unless you cremate it. And it still don't burn forever. It's allegorical. Like dying 1,000 deaths. That's your hell. When you have to die 1,000 deaths, that's your soul being tormented forever. Self and set thyself free. Show thyself approval. Study it diligently. Seek to understand. Don't go off what I say, he say, she say, we say, but truly seek to understand. I could be wrong. Man can be wrong. speak for the truth. Because that's the only way we're going to know what we need to do. Everything don't have to be explained. Once you understand it on the same accord, you know what needs to be did. Hey, if Jesus would talk, they would jab him up all the time. What that was I heard you say down there in the synagogue? You know, I said nothing in silence. I mean, in secret. Anything I said was wide open to everybody. You want to know what I say? Go ask them what I said. The officer struck him. He said, what I said is a lie, then you testify to what's the truth. But if what I said was the truth, then why did you strike me? They was always jamming him up for what he said. So that's why he spoke the way he spoke when he spoke to the 5,000. Or he fed the 5,000. And then the disciple asked him why he spoke like that. Those times hadn't changed from then to 1619 till now. You had a few millionaires back then, black millionaires. You had a couple of Michael Jacksons back then, Michael Jordans back then. You had a couple of color, maybe even mixed breed, that didn't act nothing like color and didn't deal with nobody color. But to white folks was considered to be colored. They were colored enough for them that indulged in many of the delicacies that the slave masters indulged in those days. Just as well as you have pretty much a racial proportion of those who indulge in same liberties today. You got a job, you got a car. That wasn't nothing but an extra piece of watermelon. You ain't doing nothing. But we still week to week at January the 1st, the high week, not knowing if we're going to be separated from our families, wives and kids, rented out. Plantation two states over. I mean, to hear the mentioning of how the brother described, and I'm sure I've heard something similar to that in nature about that test. But just the idea, I know they do that subliminally, subjectively. You know, they put that in there like that. You know, they'll throw it in there like, oh, who was the slave that came from Africa? You know, just to put it out there like that. You know, it might say African-Americans or something like that, different things of that nature. You probably, you know. But it's that ought to tell you something. That ought to show us something. I mean, we know it's a litmus test that they do, you know what I'm saying, in the ghetto, the black folks. You got people, refugees, that's coming from a country where many of them sold their own people out. But they come to America, Afghans, they left their own home country. Like back in the days when you had some Cubans that left Cuba. And most of those Cubans that left Cuba really didn't like the change in politics that Cuba had changed to with the revolution. They drove the slave masters out. A lot of them didn't like that because they was indulging. They was delightfully indulging into that the romancing. Into that apartheid that they was running over there, that pimple's paradise that they was upholding. But with the revolution,
many of them decided to pack their bags and get out of there because they was aiding the enemies the whole time. They were starving the people and just running the country like a big, big, big resort to America's expense. Same like in Afghan, you know. They get their own people, go against their own people, work with them against their people. You know, they pick selective people that they want to bring back, et cetera, et cetera. Don't have to have no necessary anything, but they'll put them over here and give them checks, pay each individual up to $2,000, $3,000 a month. Set them up to buy a home. Don't put them in a house that they got to rent from them. Or Washington, or Mr. Johnson, or Bowman. No. Put them in a situation where they can buy them a house that you can help pay for, your taxes, for a war that you never had any say so in or even cared about. And this is a forced citizenship on many of our people who had no say-so into whether they choose to stay in the hands of their captive to run like hell. Many of us didn't have the opportunity. We was instantaneously converted into a commodity that would be needed to grease the American company. So we'll be wage slaves, quite indentured servitude, you know, but we'll be wage slaves. And like they're talking about these ports where these cargoes are waiting at sea, the lame excuse, nobody want to work. You don't want to pay nobody. You pay enough, they'll work. Yeah, you pay enough, you'll make these pigs quit their job and go out there and work if you pay. Of course you're making it. You got storms. You got people working in storms getting torn and shredded to pieces. So you refuse to let them off while they're working, even if it is a horrible storm coming through.
Damn.
So the devil won't let go, and the devil won't let up. No matter how they appeal and appease to you, they will be devils. And their nature is to do what they have always done. It's time for us to get back to our nature, to identify with our nature, who we are, what we are, and rectify our situation. Because if they want to go to war with China, that's them. But you, as you stand today, who have never had a say-so in your own existence, nor those of us before, will be dragged down the same path, whether we agree or not. I say we separate. I say independence is the only way. Independence is the only way.
That's right.
We've never enjoyed a prosperous existence nowhere on this planet within the last 500 years. Not even as an independent state or states have been allowed to exempt from the BS to enjoy a prosperous fulfillment of livelihood. There's not one African nation or country or one black nation on this planet in the last 500 years that had the privilege of enjoying that, even in their independence. It was a struggle and a constant fight to maintain because of the ways and the likes of these devils. So will they change?
My
answer is absolutely not. Black Power.
I wanted to add something to the discussion that we need to look at right now and how the timing is very key right now. All right. So we're going to have to start raising our voices very aggressively as to the U.S. and Europe being behind this war that's waging, the civil war that's waging in Ethiopia that was instigated by the West, you know. And when we had the, for years, the Eritreans and the Ethiopians had their own civil war going on. As we were coming up as children, you know, that civil war was going on then. And the Eritreans got their own territory, right? But the, and it was the Tigras, the Tigran, who is a very small, they like 1% of the population, were working with the West to be a part of this instigation. Now that the Eritreans and the Ethiopians have long settled that civil dispute that had been going on for over 30 years, now the Eritreans and the Ethiopians are working together against the Tigray people who are being funded by the West. So as it stands right now, the European colonizers are part of the civil unrest going on in Ethiopia. At the same time, while they have their nose way over on that part of the world, which, mind you, as we spoke about Morocco being a key anchor point as it sets right at the northwestern corner of Africa by the Mediterranean Sea, which would be the corridor that would be easiest access to Europe. Okay, then you look at Israel. Israel sits in the northeastern corridor right above the territory around North Africa, in which we know there's been a lot of unrest. So is Ethiopia's in North Africa, Libya. All of these nations are under attack and are being destabilized by the West and America's interference in creating war as we speak on the motherland. Yet, Russia has lined up 10,000 tanks and is invading Ukraine as we speak. Yep. And Biden, yep, wicked coward, yep, ass, scary ass, gets on a call, trembling and fumbling with Putin and telling Putin, y'all better not invade or else. And what is the or else? You know, Putin punking this boy. You know, what are you going to do? I know you're not going to send, they're not talking about they're going to send no fighting forces against them. Because how could you send out fighting forces and ship out military to go way over to Ukraine, but you can't bring in ships right here along the coast to bring supplies to the American people? This government, this country has fallen and is falling right before our damn eyes. You can't send ships that are right on our coast right now to bring the food and supplies that are on the western coast. It's a supply chain shortage, and you claim that you can't get the supplies for the ships that are here. So how the fuck are you going to pose any kind of threat to Russia when they got tanks 10,000 alone and going into Ukraine right now? And the only thing Biden going to say is, if you go, we're going to sanction you. They don't give a fuck about your sanction. In other words, they ain't got no fight for Russia. Yet you sending and instigating wars in Africa, in the motherland, in Ethiopia. We have to realize that this beast is weak. And all of the stuff that they've been doing. Look at how their own crackers ran into that capital. And they was the your so-called powers that be was hiding behind their chairs with their butts up in the air. This beast is weak. And we are afraid of nothing. We outnumber these people. We need to stand up, people, black people. After 402 years of lies and deceit, you mean to tell me all it takes to be a citizen? Basically, what Brother Greg is saying, in order to be a citizen, you can be functionally fucking literate if you can miss 97% of the answers. You functionally literate.
You
to
get
be a citizen.
Than me.
Yeah. Come on. This is what you aspire to be?
Won't let me in.
What job What test, what degree could you get? What grade do you get if you only answer 3% correct? What the fuck? This is an optical illusion. Then the three questions that you do answer are really wicked intent. I mean, what the fuck are we afraid of? These people gaining the power by manipulation, bloodshed. They was acknowledged by one country. We must think in the larger scale. You got these cotton-picking Negroes attacking the New Black Panther Party because we are the only voice that not only stands up, speaks out, but is spoken out armed, not armed, to the face of every so-called point of government, face-to-face. And they want to attack us and try to prop up Negroes that want to stand side-by-side with white folks. Negroes that ain't going to cause them no ruffles. Negroes that's going to ask them for permission, get a permit before they do anything. This is who they want to pump up. But us revolutionary are far and few in between, and it's a good thing. Because these days, you need to know who's who and what's what. The tough talk, it's not about a goddamn thing. It is a very powerful position our people are in at this moment. We have been through the worst of the worst and have overcome it to a great extent. Should we have a few issues? Who the fuck wouldn't have issues after all the shit we done been through? But still, come on. But the world imitates us. They imitate us. They're not imitating Bobby and Becky and shit. You don't see the majority of the world running around in cardigans and khakis and shit. They imitate us. Those who they try to mock. We are in a very powerful position. And we have to recognize it is not only our open enemy, the white man, but there are race traitors who have been a part of this the whole goddamn time. And we must be prepared to deal with that as well. But failure, it's not even much in the cards. It's really happening before our very eyes. They say, allegedly, 49% of the people haven't taken the poison. And they say the vast majority of people who haven't taken the poison are black people. And they say the vast majority of the black people who haven't taken the poison, I'm talking about the jab, the vaccines, the poison, are those who they say are quote-unquote uneducated because they don't trust the government. And the petty boot and those of quote-unquote higher echelon educated or questioning it and haven't taken it. So those are some great odds that we're dealing with. You mean to tell me that the working class people and the highly educated quote-unquote are the ones that are kind of got a clue of what's going on? Can't you build a nation with those type of people? I would believe so. If you got the soldiers and the working class and the scientific minds and unfortunately the deaf, dumb, and blind, they just not going to get it. They're not going to make it. They love these devils. But if we roll with the odds that we got now, we got this. And we're going to build more on this. But 402 years is a long time. But really, it's a blip of time compared to how long we've been on this planet and the things we done been through. That's my two cents on it, brother Mama, Black Power. Mama.
Black Power. Yeah, Black Power. Yeah, I got to look. this little teeth killing me. It started to kick in on me.
Okay.
Well, Black Power, I tell you, you go back to the Reconstruction period. What did they say? Give us your what? You're poor, you're destitute, and every damn body else. You fast forward to now, you barely got to be able to speak English, answer 3 minimum questions, and you come on in. That's always have been done to come in to oppress and keep us down. Bottom line, once that quote-unquote Emancipation Proclamation or whatever you want to call it, once they knew that we were free, which we really weren't free, they just unleashed a whole plan to make sure that we would not advance in any shape, form, or fashion. Bring us your poor, your destitute, and every damn body else to keep us down. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. That's their agenda. Number one agenda. And you know, you hit the nail right in the head, sister. They're not going to do anything to Russia because we're not the superpower. When I always say this, and I won't say I always say this, but I say this to a lot of people, especially to those who have never traveled outside of this country, who want to sit back and say that this is the greatest country in the world, this is the best country in the world. But for those who've never been outside of this country, I always ask them, well, what do you have to compare that to? How do you know this is the greatest and the best country in the world when you haven't been anywhere? You have nothing to compare it to whatsoever. You don't know how things function politically, religiously, economically, anywhere else other than here. So if you want to walk around with your shallow mentality and thinking that this is the best of the entire world, but don't know jack about anything else, You deserve to be in a position where you're at, oppressed. I'm not talking about our people. I'm talking about anybody in general. That's just common sense. So for people to sit around and not even understand that this is not the most powerful country in the world, this is not the richest country in the world, go do a simple basic Google search, Yahoo search, countries that are in the most debt, countries with the best education, the best medical. I guarantee you, this country will not be nowhere remotely close to the top of the list in any of those categories. But too many people are bamboozled of thinking that this is the best of the best that the world has to offer. It's not. I said it plenty of times before. This country knows who to bully around. This country knows who to pick on. And Russia is not a country that they would pick on at all. Plain
That's
and
right.
simple. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Yeah, a bully is a coward. You know what I'm saying? And this country has been bullying by people. The police go around shooting unarmed people by themselves. The little vigilante crackers go around attacking and killing unarmed people. All the wickedness that this country is doing is coming upon it. A tornado just came out the blue a few days ago and swept through Kentucky. Then Kentucky just, let Breonna Taylor's murderers walk. Y'all better pay attention to what's going on. Y'all better pay attention to what's going on, my people. We want to give a special
thanks to our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mamaw, who led a very powerful discussion tonight. Very powerful discussion. He opened up so many cans of worms. We had a very, some very provoking jewels dropped on us by our Minister of Culture that opened up another can of worms. This broadcast is designed to offer political education, but to also, for the most part, to get you to think and to take those thoughts and put those thoughts into action. You can no longer claim ignorance. There's too much information out here. It's what we're going to do with it. Stop holding on to foolishness. It's too much information being laid. It's too much information already out there. The time of cooning and buffooning, it's never been a place for it. But in these days, you must be exposed. See, we're going to keep bringing this information nightly. On tomorrow night, we will have the Keebler News Report. On Wednesday, we have our COVID updates, which will give you updates from the Your Immunity Project, which Dr. Aleem Muhammad and his team at the Your Immunity Project have been laying out. And on Thursday, we hear from Brother Eugene Telford with the New African News Network, with the New African Network. And Friday and Saturdays and Sundays, we have political education clips and information that we bring to the table. This broadcast is brought to you by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and our allies. We are for the people, by the people. We are self-funded. We're not corporately sponsored, and it allows us to be free. Free to speak how we want to speak and to bring the truth unadulterated. Support the New Black Panther Party by going to www.nbpp.org. Click that donate button. That donate button, once you click it, is going to bring you to our humanitarian arm of the New Black Panther Party, the Black Cross. And there you will see the link to click and pay or send a donation by PayPal. You can use a debit card from wherever you are on the planet. And if you're here in the U.S., you could also send a cash app to $BlackPowerDollar, because freedom ain't free. It costs us monthly to host this broadcast. So support those who are bringing right information. We thank you. We're going to say tune in tomorrow night and every night for the truth. Black Power.